This is HPR episode 2892 entitled, Star Drifter RPG Playtest Part 02, and is part of the series, Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by Lost and Drunk, and is about 37 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Lost and Drunk and Friends Playtest a new, original RPG system. Today's show is licensed under a CC0 license.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is Lost in Bronx, otherwise known as David Collins Rivera. This is part two of our playtest of the Star Drifter role-playing game. Now, I was running it, and our players were Klaatu, Taj, Bryn, and Brian. Last time, we read through the rules, the entire episode, basically. We discussed aspects of the rolling up process for the characters. Saving throws were discussed, whether they were likely to work or not. There are a lot of great suggestions, in fact, covering different aspects of the things that we talked about. This week, we continue reading through the rules, and you'll find that there are also some really great suggestions from these guys.
Okay. Skills. All skills start at certification grade 1 or cert 1, regardless of the character's level when they acquire it. The only exception to this is a character's prime skill, which starts at cert 2 when the character is rolled up. In addition to the initial class skills, each new character gets 2 cert points, which they are to expend on 2 additional skills of their choosing. At first level, characters may not expend cert points on skills they already possess, nor may they expend their cert points to gain a new skill at cert 2. At level 1, only prime skills can start at cert 2. In other words, at first level, you acquire new skills, but you don't build any up. Every level gained after this, the character gets 1 or more new cert points, which they may use to increase the certification grade of skills already possessed, or to acquire new skills at cert 1. No more than 1 certification grade may be expended, blah, blah, blah. It's the same deal. Okay. Skills are a reflection of training and experience, but they are associated with attributes. Each skill has an attribute listed in parentheses. This is the base number to start with, while the skill certification grade reflects a bonus on top of that number. Okay, skill checks are rolled for with 1d20, equal to or less is a success. Situational modifiers may apply. So that is the same throughout. Pretty much you're always going to be rolling a 20 when you have to check something, any kind of check with your character, as opposed to rolling percent dice for a weird chance of something happening or damage being done. A d20 is going to be your, you know, your go-to die. And unlike D&D, lower is better. A natural 20 is not a success. It is a failure. So many skills require extensive knowledge to attempt. These are denoted by the caret symbol, that little V shape at the, you know, on the keyboard, upside down V shape, I should say. And they carry the highest non-skilled penalties of all. Characters without proper certification in those skills may attempt to substitute another skill at a -3 penalty on their skill check die roll, or if they have no other appropriate skill, they may attempt to wing it, rolling against the appropriate attribute at a -8 penalty on their skill check die roll. Now, that seems like a lot, but there might be other modifiers that are giving you a bonus at that time, or maybe you can't do it at all. You know, if you don't know anything about computers and someone puts you in front of the computer and, you know, if you just sit there and say, oh, this is Unix, I know Unix, you know, there's going to be a die roll there and there's going to be a penalty. So In some cases, prerequisite skills or prereqs are required before the character can take another skill in which they are interested. Starting or later characters may choose both a skill and its prereq at the same time. So if there is a skill you want, but it has a prereq, you get both of those, you have both skills. So, but you have to have the cert points, obviously. Typical modifiers for attempting to use even a regular skill that one doesn't possess range from -2 to -6, depending upon the circumstances. Now, these are regular skills, not the extra hard ones like with the carrot. And the numbers, obviously, it's fluid. It all depends on the situation. You know, there's a range of penalties here, and it will depend on a lot of things at that moment. And probably, you know, a good game master will negotiate this at the time, so with the players. Although some things might be preset. This may be in addition to any standing situational modifiers. All right, so I have a long list of skills. I am not going to read them directly. I'm just going to list them off, and I will list the attribute that they're associated with. And when we get to that skill, please stop me if you have any comments or questions, guys. Okay, first is bureaucracy. This is a carrot skill. We're going to call it a carrot. A carrot skill is one that's extra tough. Why? Because bureaucracy can be absolutely mystifying to someone who is outside of it. Absolutely, especially in this time period where the laws and forms and policies can be absolutely impenetrable. So that is associated with wisdom. Next is combat XXX, strength or dex. You pick one. So you get to pick either your strength or your dex per skill and decide whether or not this is associated. Now, I think, Klaatu, this is probably another good place to put down more explicit instructions telling people what to write down on their character sheet. This is, you know, I can see exactly what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
So there, I have a very limited subset of weapon skills to have: bludgeon, bladed, pistol, rifle, hand-to-hand, strategy and tactics, and a carrot skill, which is special, and that would be something like heavy weapons or ship defense, things like that. And of course, obviously, in the future, this will be a much more expanded list. But for now, this is what we've got. Next is computers. That's based on intelligence. There are sub-skills. Now, I didn't write this out. That should have been computers, computers XXX. But computers on its own is a skill, so that's why I had it separate. I don't know if that's clear. It's probably not clear. But a sub-skill of computers is artificial intelligence. That's a carrot skill that's based on intelligence and cybernetic systems that has a prerequisite in both computers and medical. So both these sub-skills both have prereqs. Artificial intelligence has computers, and cybernetics has computers and medical and biology. That's probably the hardest single one to get right off the bat in this game, right? Starting off again to create cybernetic systems or cyber. And by cybernetics, I mean bionics, human machine interfaces. Next is a carrot skill, engineering XXX. Now, engineering is based on intelligence or wisdom. You get to pick one, whichever one's highest for you. And the sub skills on this are life support, main drive, which is the main thruster drive of a spaceship, star jump, ship or station systems, that's life support and gravity and all this other stuff, ship defense systems, that's the guns and the missile systems and all the power that goes through them and all the subsystems and the computer types of monitoring and sensor systems that would be hooked into those, and finally general repair. And general repair is a prereq for all of the others. If I haven't listed them all, but if you want to have any of those other engineering, you have to have general repair to begin with. And that just is a reflection of you've been taught how to use the tools and how to read the schematics and, you know, how to open up a power line without killing yourself, that sort of thing. Okay, the next skill is exosuit. And that is based on strength. Now, that could have been based on almost anything, constitution or whatever, but I went with strength. That one's up in the air, and I don't know that it matters that much. But a sub-skill of that is powered armor, and that would just be what it sounds like, kind of that Iron Man thing going on. And, the next skill is lying. That's based on your charisma. The next is medico, and that's based on your wisdom. And medico, I have much about how Medico works and how healing works written right here, and I won't go into that just yet. But that's a major and important skill in this universe. Well, in every game, really. Next is a carrot skill, piloting XXX, and there are sub-skills. So we have space boats, star jump, air vehicles, water vehicles, and ground vehicles. An important note here, based on the way I have set up these rules, that if you say you needed star jump, but you only have, say, water vehicles, piloting water vehicles, boats, right? You still have the ability to operate a starship through jump space, assuming that there aren't any major problems going on. The concept here is that the way control surfaces are laid out, everything is computerized in this future, and the way the control surfaces and the readouts are laid out, being actually trained in one thing gives you a basic understanding so that you sit in front of the control surface for a spaceship and you at least can read what the displays are saying. You know, my speed forward should be this display right here, and some way to brake or some way to measure how I'm going to stop or slow down should be this control over here. That's the concept behind it. It's very general and not realistic, I realize. But this allows you to actually cross-use some of these skills, provided you aren't in some sort of stressful situation, being shot at, being chased, that sort of thing. That's a question that I have for you guys. I would like your feedback on that concept. Now, I'm picking piloting, but of course, that cross-use applies to all the skills, but piloting is the one where I think it's going to stand out. And I'll give you a heads up, it may be an important factor in this playtest adventure as well. What are you guys feeling about that? The ability to have this sort of cross-use of the sub-skills?
I don't think I would have a thought until we playtested it. I have no idea what effect that will actually have. I like the concept, but maybe I don't like the concept.
Anything else?
I think that probably would help. Again, you can't really tell till it gets put into practice, but say you need to operate the star jump, if nothing's there, is that when you're saying
correct.
That you could
correct.
Substitute, that's the minus two penalty?
Okay. The only...
yeah,
oh, sorry,
I
go
think
ahead.
That makes sense.
I have one. I was going to say, I have one question, though. So is this one of those skills that you need to have piloting one, and then the next time you pick up star jump or air vehicles, or is it the
correct.
First shot it is
So if you're
piloting,
picking up piloting, it is a sub-skill. XXX is a placeholder for one of the sub-skills. There are a couple of skills, like computers, that you can just take computers, but there are also sub-skills. But piloting, it will always be piloting, colon, space boats or star jump or air vehicles or something like that. It won't just be generalized piloting, because I think that is too generalized. That's kind of my view on it. But that's I you know,
okay.
Do you think that's wrong? Do you think that works or poor?
No, it works. That was
all
just
of this
me not understanding
kind
it.
Kind of thumbnail style, but okay. Taj, no general opinion on that or?
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Claudia was saying.
Okay.
It seems like a good
okay.
idea.
It would probably take
it
a lot of gaming to see if
it.
This is a rule that simply isn't working or is working or is too good or too, you know, needs tweaking, that sort of thing. We won't necessarily get enough feedback from one playtest to understand that, but maybe we will. Maybe we will. That would be good. Okay, the next skill is science XXX. That's based on intelligence. And I have biology, genetics, physics, astronomy, chemistry, terraforming. And you'll notice I don't have any description of any of that because, I don't know, it's a lot to write down. And again, those are all sub-skills. And you can swap one for the other with a minus two or whatever. The next is social engineering. And that's based on charisma. And I will read the description on this. It's not what you know, it's who you know and how you play them. The idea here is just your ability to, you know people and you know what they know and they maybe can do favors for you, that sort of thing. And it is distinct from lying because you aren't necessarily lying to people. You're just trying to finesse a situation. So I was thinking, and here's something, I was thinking of making social engineering based on lying or lying based on social engineering as a prereq, but I thought, nah, I don't think that one necessarily follows the other. But if you have a difference of opinion on that, I would like to hear it. Otherwise, next is stealthiness, moving quietly and unseen or hiding in plain sight. It cannot be performed in an exosuit or powered armor, and there's probably plenty of other situations where it's impractical or can't work. But that's kind of a combination of the old D&D moving silently and hiding in shadows and everything. The whole concept of that sort of ninja quality to a person falls into that skill of stealthiness. Okay, next is survival XXX. That means there's sub-skills, and those are nature, out in the woods or in the desert or whatever, urban, living in a city. That also includes living homeless, being homeless on large space stations or large ships, because it's effectively a very similar sort of situation, except you don't have to worry about the elements most of the time. So it's not exactly necessarily a direct parallel, but if you have survival urban, then surviving on a space station without actually having a home probably isn't much problem for you. Survival XXX, there's also survival vacuum. That's one of the sub skills, and that is a carrot skill. That is surviving vacuum conditions in open space or upon a planetary body. And that does not mean just wearing a spacesuit. Survival vacuum means surviving in that environment for an extended period of time, learning how to find air when maybe it's a vacuum wrapped planetoid. How do you produce air? How do you do this? You know, do you have the right equipment? Well, if you have this skill, you would have the right equipment and the skills to use to, you know, break down the soil into its basic elements and get oxygen out of that sort of thing. So it can be a very important skill if you're spending a lot of time rock hopping. And then survival hostile environment, and that is also a carrot skill, and that includes not just vacuum, but assuming you have a suit that can take it for a while, surviving on the surface of Venus, or surviving in and around volcanoes, or terrible storms, or, you know, all sorts of terrible, terrible environments like that. Situation where the atmosphere is semi-liquid and caustic and all that sort of stuff. So that's a separate skill, and it does have prerequisites, and it's a difficult one to get. Okay, and I think that's it. Is that the last of the skills? Yeah, it looks like it. Okay, any questions about the skills? Is there a skill there you guys wish you had seen right off the bat and did not?
There doesn't seem to be anything that I was seeing for, like, sort of traditional roguish activities or thief activities, you know? Like,
that falls under general repair. It also depends on what you're trying to do. Like, say, you're trying to... Well, okay. Like breaking a lock is essentially you're beating a computer or some sort of small subsystem of a interlinked system. And if it is truly mechanical, that absolutely falls under engineering. So, but maybe that could be more explicit. Maybe we could have something that covers thieving skills, because you are skilled with general repair or some of these other things doesn't mean you know how to apply it breaking and entering. So I'll make a note of that. So
the other one, I'm probably just hitting all the obvious ones here, but the other one is kind of like a knowledge-based character. Like, there doesn't seem to be any academic skills. I mean, there is the science stuff. So if you're trying to, like, search your brain for knowledge about, you know, an alien species, you could rely on that. And I didn't really see anything for that.
Generalist or...
Maybe, but more like if you come across something that no one else on in your party knows what it is, like, just to identify what that thing is, like, what kind of check would you do to try to identify, like, is this a black hole? Is it a nebula? Like, how do we even know? Like, what's the, like, where's the knowledge based, you know, academic skill?
Is it a difference between a black hole or a nebula? Be under astronomy or astrophysics or something like that. But if they're for things like general knowledge about, like, culture, probably science might be the wrong term.
Too. Maybe, like, what about academic culture? Like, yeah,
maybe that would be a better term. And then I would just add to the academic skills. And just because you have a cert in it doesn't mean you're a professor or a teacher or anything like that. It just means you have knowledge in that field. Yeah. Or whatever it happened to be. So, yeah.
You took a correspondence
course.
I have one suggestion, and it kind of relates back to what you were talking about earlier. I would combine social engineering and lying.
You would? Okay.
They're mechanically the same thing. Like, they're both charisma. So if you're getting one, like, you can do social engineering. Like, I would call it social engineering, but make the description say that that's probably lying. And I would add, like, a thief skill and base it out of dex, because that's usually what it is.
And I see that also kind of having, kind of linking up with the bureaucracy there. But in my mind, you could have a good lying skill, but no social engineering skills, and in which case your lies, just though they might be very good, not or just won't work. All right.
I do actually see social engineering and lying as distinct, but possibly related. That's why I asked the question before. But I've known people that have never, I mean, they're as honest as the day is long, and yet they're able to pick up the phone and call people, get things done. They know this person, they know that person, they make deals with people, and yet they're completely honest. They don't lie to anybody. I've seen that in action. I think we all have at different times. Whereas I know people that can get the same thing done by lying to everybody. But, you know, we all know where that can lead, or maybe not, if they don't get caught. And yes, they are both based on charisma, but if they're separate skills, you can advance in one better than in the other simply by adding cert points to it as you go along. But once again, you mentioned thief skills. So you, if I had a separate thief skill or even a thief class of some sort, would you say lying more properly belongs either in that skill or in that class?
Well, when I rolled up a character just to kind of play, just to fill it out, I kind of went into it thinking, I looked at my roles and I was like, okay, I want to do kind of a rogue. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And I just social engineering. And then I felt like I needed to pick up lying, like, as a secondary skill. But then I picked up stealthiness to kind of, because I was figuring, well, with between lying and stealthiness, I can probably thieve things if I want to. Like, it seemed like I could combine skills to get what I needed. But there wasn't just like a singular thing to be like, oh, swipe this from somebody.
No, you're right. There could be skills like pickpocketing. That sounds like something that, you know, would be a distinct skill. But maybe that's too specific. Maybe we do want a generalized thief skill, you know, being a thief. Thievery, we'll call it. A thievery skill, which would include things like breaking and entering, or specifically include things like breaking and entering and pickpocketing, and maybe even some con artistry, you know, possibly. Although where does lying, where, you know, if you're having a separate lying skill, should we have a separate lying skill if we have thief skills? Or if thievery is a skill, should it have prerequisites? Or maybe thievery XXX, so you can specialize and be a con artist. You could be a pickpocket. You could be, you know, a burglar. You could be a safecracker, that sort of thing. Does that make more sense? In which case, most of those would have prerequisites based on the other skills.
So, question. Are we talking about adding another character class or adding skills so that we could customize to become a rogue-type character?
I think adding a skill. Right now, yeah, I don't think adding a class, because be perfectly frank, I wanted to dispense with classes entirely, but because I base this on Dungeon Raiders, that does come with classes, and I just ran with that. But I do have another version of these rules, or of the Star Drifter game that I started years ago, and there are no character classes in that at all. It's all skill-based. So if you want to be a thief, you just pick the skills that you feel is appropriate, and you self-identify as a thief. The same with pilot, the same with athlete, the same with, you know, soldier, that sort of thing. And I was hoping to go more in that direction. That's more traveler-like. Traveler is based like that. That, you know, that's the sort of game that is based on skills as opposed to necessarily character classes, but or at least it used to be. I don't know what it's like these days. And that was kind of the direction I was hoping to go in. The one advantage of skills, or I'm sorry, of classes that I wanted to take advantage, is that if you took this class, you come with some prepackaged skills, some basic skills that you've gotten simply because you have lived this life before the game started. But from a thief standpoint, it sounds to me, I mean, does that sound like a good idea? A thievery XXX with sub skills? Or is that sound too complicated or too watered down? Or
no, I was thinking along the lines of, I like the skill-based approach rather than the character class approach, because you have so much customization if you have the skills there that you can build what you like. So that's the direction I was coming from.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's exactly my point of view as well. Taj, how do you feel?
Yeah, I think a skill is the way to go with it. And I in my opinion, I think you could just make one skill and maybe as you're defining that skill, just sort of like list, like that might be a good thing to do with all the skills, is just make like a little short list of like, these are circumstances where this skill might be applicable. But I don't think it needs to be a class at all. And I kind of agree that I felt like I was able to build the character I wanted with the classes were there that were there. But I would make one change, and it's probably just to alleviate what I'm doing, because I'm coming into it and I'm seeing the terminology that I'm used to. And so my first thought was, I want to fit this class into this game or this sort of archetype in this game. I would get rid of the word class and I would just call them like backgrounds, because a lot of it is based on like your job or like where you're from. Like if you're a stationer, that's more of your background. That's not really, you could be anything and be a stationer. You know, it's just to sort of divorce it from that connotation of being like one of the, you know, I guess, typical classes that you normally see.
Okay, that's actually a really good idea.
Regarding the whole thievery idea, I'm not sure. I kind of like it a bit more obscure, where you would need to combine your skills. Most basic thievery is really nothing more than stealthiness. And if you were to go to something like safecracking, then you're adding some engineering into it there. And I kind of like it a little more open-ended rather than... See, it seems like you could fit almost any situation just by putting your lying with your stealthiness or putting your social engineering with your bureaucracy or whatever for that situation.
Yeah.
You described
the situation that I kind of anticipated, is I was going to use stealthiness to try to do things to steal, and then if I got caught, I would try to use social engineering or lying to get out of it.
Well, that's exactly what they're for. I mean, that's exactly what it's for. You know, like in my case, like, and just to one more point on the distinction between social engineering and stealthiness, social engineering and lying. You use your stealthiness to try to steal something. You get caught. In social engineering, it's like, oh, do you know my cousin? I know your cousin. We went to school together. Oh, and you tell this, you know, great old story about the cousin and try to make friends with that person, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas in lying, oh, well, I belong here and I don't have my ID on me right this moment, but blah, 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 blah. So you're actually telling a bald-faced lie as opposed to finessing a situation based on you know, who you know and what you know. That's my distinction between the two. I think Brian has hit on the point where that, in my mind, even with this very limited subset of skills in this playtest, in this early version of the game, I should say, you could do a thief. You could be a thief based on just the skills I have, but you would have to pick them carefully with that in mind. And I don't even know if you'll even have enough points to start with to get everything you want. But, you know, you can't have everything you want right off the bat. So, yeah, I'm going to do some more thinking about having a specific thief class. Because if I went in that direction, probably I wouldn't have a single thievery. I said class. I'm sorry. I meant skill. It gets complicated. I probably wouldn't have a single thievery skill. I would have a list of sub-skills with related prerequisites. But if you already have those prerequisites, you wouldn't even really necessarily need those. How about this for an idea? Rather than something like that, have a chapter on how you might apply these different skills in different situations. If you wanted to steal something, you know, I would have a list of skills that you could use to steal something, as opposed to, you know, perhaps you want to fix a star jump engine on the sly, there's some guards in the way and you're trying to steal this ship or try to get by the guards or access a computer system. And I list the exact same skills. These skills can be applied to all these different situations so that if you want to be a thief, all the skills are there, but you have to apply them the way a thief would apply those skills. You know, a thief would apply their mechanical skill and their electronic skill and their stealthiness, that sort of thing. Does that sound like worthwhile, or is it better just to have a single skill for thievery? I don't know. It's these sorts of questions that extensive playtesting would hammer out, I think.
Well, and I think it ultimately depends on, like, I didn't feel, when I was doing this character, I didn't feel like I couldn't do it. I just felt like I had to be more creative, which in a certain regard is kind of nice, to not just, like, see everything you want, like the huge list of Pathfinder skills, and just pick everything that fits any situation. Like, it is kind of interesting to have to figure that out. So I'm not sure that, I'm kind of arguing against myself now, which, whatever. I'm not sure that adding it is beneficial. It may be. It's just one of those things that I think it's something that people are going to look for. So maybe explaining it somewhere would be a good idea.
Yeah. See, therein lies a problem, though, because then I'm making the assumption, or even designing the game in such a way, that only people who play the game the way I do will really be able to play this game. And I'm not sure that's a good idea either. I mean, I like the way I run a game, but, you know, that's just me. And if it's not something that everybody likes, then again, you know, here's me talking, you know, arguing against myself. Then again, you can't have one game to please everybody. I haven't seen that game yet. You know, they're always constantly trying to come up with a game that's going to please everybody, but I have yet to find it. And I'm not sure I should be chasing that rainbow myself. So,
well, and every game kind of develops its own flavor. Anyways, I mean, it's very rare. Like, there are some systems where you can do anything. Like, I would say Dungeons & Dragons, you can kind of do anything. It doesn't have its own sort of flavor. But most smaller games do. And, you know, it's just playing it and figuring it out.
Yeah. See, I do like the idea of having the skills listed, and then you have to figure out how to apply them. And if you want to do something, you look at your sheet and see if you can do it. And if you can't, maybe someone else can. You know, so I want to get into that storeroom and steal that thing. Do I have the skills to do it? You know, and so just because you say you're a thief, automatically do you get skills for that? Just because that's, you know, I have a thief skill? I don't know. I think, I'm not certain. It's something that's worth exploring, but we're probably rabbit holing this right now, so we'll keep going, if that's okay.
Yeah, I would just say, like, this is me going back to the books themselves. Like, Ejok doesn't start with everything. Like, he has to, like, work, and you hear him talk about in the stories, like, oh, I'm working on this, and he gets certs and everything. So that is kind of a cool mechanic, to not start with you with not everything, and you have to work your way up. I think that kind of reflects the narrative pretty
See,
well.
See, going on that, riffing on that, because that obviously that's where I'm coming from. For the entire game, that is one of the reasons why I'd like to dispense with character class entirely. And the concept of changing it to background is an excellent one. That's a really, really good one. I don't know, something to think about. Absolutely something to think about. Experience points and leveling up. Actually, this is something he did have a question about, and I don't mind jumping back if we need to, but adventuring around the galaxy inevitably lends experience, which in turn leads to new character levels. Levels garner HP, stamina, cert points, and improvements to saving throws, so everyone is in search of experience. And, just as an aside, this is also something I'd like to change in the future. I'd like to dispense with character levels entirely and have everything depending upon your skills, because that's how it is in real life. But we won't go there. Experience is measured in XP awarded to a party as a whole and divided equally among its members at the end of an adventure, skirmish, or game session, depending upon house rules. Fighting earns XP. Successfully completing a mission earns XP. Solving particular or especially difficult tasks earns XP. Excellent group role-playing earns XP. There are many ways to earn experience in Star Drifter, but regarding combat, for each enemy defeated, their original HP is multiplied by 50, and the result is awarded to the party as XP. For every 2,000 XP that a character earns, they increase in level by 1. That's the same for everybody. It's not based on class. At each new level, the player rolls 1d4 and adds the result to their character's HP, and then rolls another 1d4 and adds this to their stamina. So from second level on, your hit points and your stamina can start to differ and may continue to be from that point on. So, and finally, X mil characters gaining plus one to damage for every level after first. Now, one of in a email, Klaatu mentioned to me that he didn't think that multiplying the enemy original HP is multiplied by 50. He didn't think that was a good mechanic. He didn't think that, or he questioned it. He wondered if that was adequate. My counter argument in this particular case was just that, well, you're not going to be fighting dragons and liches in this game. You know, you're fighting people and maybe robots, and I'm not sure what else. You know, those are going to be about the extent of your enemies in this game. And yeah, they can take almost any form, but you're not going to be dealing with these giant monsters with incredible hit points that the entire party has to gang up on, by and large. There may be situations where it happens, but it's going to be rare. At least that's my concept of this entire universe. Any feedback on this? Any thoughts about this? Or is it just, we got to see, play and see?
I think as long as your adversarial characters aren't completely OP'd, like as long as their hit points are staying low enough, that's okay. It's just, I could see it, and this is maybe what Claudio's kind of worried about, is I could see that ballooning to where like you get, you know, a mid-range kind of combat thing. It's not like big boss level, not, you know, your typical little skirmish, and everybody levels up in the middle, just because, you know, that. Depending on what you have to get out of hand.
This is a mechanic that's lifted directly from Dungeon Raiders. In Dungeon Raiders, it's actually multiplied by 100, I think it is, or maybe even 200. I can't remember off the top of my head. It's greater than this. And I thought that was too much. I thought, you know, you play three adventures and your characters are, they're at like 5th, 6th, 7th level already. Because 2,000 XP per level, it never scales up. You know, so to me, this entire thing for experience points and leveling up, it's all completely malleable. I have no idea if this can scale. None. So, in my mind, I just have to play it and see what we're getting.
Yeah, so. I've never played Dungeon Raiders as anything other than a one-shot. So, I'm not sure how it scales.
Me too. I've run it myself, but I've never played in a regular campaign. And I have no idea if this scales. I mean, it's sort of, I mean, the original D&D, it had tons of little things like this that really didn't scale at all. And people just fudged it or figured out ways around it. I'm either willing to fudge this or scrap it entirely for something else. Again, I wouldn't mind scrapping levels entirely. But if I'm doing that, then why have character classes at all? So, you know, we'll just see. We'll just see. Because in my mind, if you get XP, you put them into your skills. They don't go into a level. And, you know, it, rather than each level you get a certain number of cert points, each skill would cost a certain number of XP directly, and there'd be no cert points involved. In my mind, that's a better evolution of this concept, but I think that would require a complete revamping of the game, so. And if I get rid of character classes, that will be essentially the last vestige of Dungeon Raiders in this game, outside of the attributes, which I may modify anyway. So we'll just move on if there's no other thoughts.
Next time, more rules, plus the adventure begins. That's right, we actually get into the playtest itself. Now, I'm reading through the rules, and understand this, I'm reading through the rules just to give you, the listener, the sense of how this game might be structured. I have some trouble explaining myself because I'm not very good at that sort of thing, but I'm hoping that at least some of it makes sense, and as the actual gameplay, as we go through it, I think it'll start to make even more sense. So anyway, I guess I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.